stories to motivate, inspire, transform, and empower. And now, here is your host, Dr. Carmela Nantan.
Hello, and welcome to the show, In the Lead. This show is designed to showcase and give voice to the collective wisdom of powerful, influential women who lead across all sectors, walks of life, and in the world. I'm excited today to have as a special guest, Susan Hart. Welcome, Susan Hart.
Hello, Dr. Carmela, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. Would you kindly just share with us what you do? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I own a company called HeartZone. We are based out of Ontario, Canada. And our primary goal is to truly assist people in creating their access to their personal health, their personal wealth, and ultimately their freedom. And why that's so key is that I truly believe that it is not until that we are able to see ourselves as free in terms of resources, whether those resources be powerfully healthy, whether those resources being access to wealth in all its forms, that we truly create freedom and we're able to live the life that we design and the life that we deserve. We do that through personal mastery coaching. And what I mean by that is I believe that oftentimes the gap between where people are and where they deserve to be is not more skills, more experience, more talent, but more personal mastery. In other words, mastering their habits on a daily basis that make up who they are in the world. And secondly, I have a love for the industry of network marketing. So I'm a full-time professional network marketer and have been doing that for about 13 years in the area of health and wellness.
That sounds interesting for sure, and thought provoking on another level. So, how did you get started in the career that you have chosen? I thought that there was a shift somehow. So.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that life always creates opportunities, and sometimes opportunities don't look the way you expect it to be. So for me, my background is family, individual, and group counseling. I'm a crisis counselor by profession. What that means is that if there is a challenging, difficult, chronic situation, I'm often the person brought in to help manage and resolve that, whether that be with families, whether that be with teams, whether that be with organizations. Had done it for many years and absolutely loved it. In the last 4 years of that career, I found myself managing one of the largest drop-ins in the downtown core of the city of Toronto, a drop-ins a day program for women who are living on the street, women who are marginalized, women who have mental health issues and are choosing not to medicate, women who have addictions issues and are more than likely still using. And the service we provided access for 150-plus women a day. I was a crisis manager, and our place was always hopping. I worked, felt like probably 40 to 60 hours a week, on call on weekends, one crisis after another. And in doing that and actually training staff and training them on how to manage crisis, the one person I wasn't taking care of was me. So in my last year of my career, I found myself physically exhausted. If you looked at me sideways, I would waffle between taking your head off and crying. I was losing weight. I found myself 10 to 12 pounds underweight. I was physically exhausted, so it didn't matter how much I slept. I never, ever woke up feeling rested. And I was on what I would say the brink of burnout. On my home front, I'm $50,000 upside down in credit card debt. We have a lien on our house. I have three boys getting ready to go to college. I'm in a marriage that's falling apart due to financial stress and a host of other things. And I am thinking, how could this be my life? And that question was really because in my mind, I had followed the equation. I went to school. I have 7 years of post-secondary education. I went to work in my field. I climbed the proverbial ladder. I was supposedly at the top of my game. sought after in terms of employment, and I was financially upside down, unhappy, and exhausted. And didn't want to tell anybody about it because I was supposed to have arrived, but I hadn't. And so it was in my seeking an answer and being open to anything, because sometimes the pain of where you are is you're thinking there can't be anything worse, so I'll go anywhere else. And I was in that place, so I'll go anywhere else. I'll try anything else. Just put something in front of me just to relieve me from this situation. And a friend put network marketing in front of me. And at first I was like, are you kidding me? You know, and you know, I talked to God. So I was like, God, really, is this the answer you're going to send me? And it was. So after her many attempts of phone calls, I decided to try the product, enjoy the product. The product totally transformed my health. People started asking what I was doing. I started sharing. Money started to flow. And I thought, well, this might be an answer to my situation. So I got deeply involved, loved it, and decided I was going to use that as a vehicle to resign from my job, which I did 2.5 years later. And then I decided I was going to use it as a vehicle to set me financially right side up and eventually financially free, which it did. And because of all the skills and experience that it provided me, it was natural to progress into another business, which was a coaching and training business, a mentoring and training business, I should say. And that's how I arrive at where I am today.
Wow. And I truly appreciate your transparency, because I realize that it resonates with a lot of people, including myself. And, you know, it's a powerful thing to know that we would have done everything that was scripted or termed as success and still not feel successful. And so that is something that is a major issue today.
You know, it truly is. And it is realizing that the equation or the formula that we have been given many years ago is no longer effective today. And I think oftentimes no one wants to talk about that the formula is not working. And for me, it was really around, one, understanding for myself that the formula wasn't working, but being willing to speak into the world that this formula isn't working and that has nothing to do with you personally. We just need to find a new way. And it was only when I was willing to be transparent, vulnerable, share my story, talk about the breakdown in my life, talk about how messy it became, that I got access to the possibility that this is a conversation that I could continue to have with people, and I could support people in becoming free. I could support people in becoming right side up. I could support people in feeling less shame, blame, upset, and actually step into a place where there were solutions for themselves.
Awesome. You know, and you talked about feeling burnt out and so on, and I would ask you to talk a little bit about how you manage stress and pressure of your day-to-day responsibilities, perhaps in contrast to what used to happen.
Oh, that's a great question. And I think that is probably one of my biggest learns. And as you know, if there's women that are listening, this is totally a learn, particularly for women. So one of the biggest things I had to face for myself was a lot of my identity was wrapped up in my ability to give, rescue, support, do for. And as if you're that person, you get a lot of accolades for being able to do everything for everybody. You know, and people would say to you, oh my goodness, Suzanne, I don't know how you juggle all those things. Oh my gosh, Suzanne, so resourceful. It was accolades and praises and accolades and praises. And realizing that I was kind of addicted to the accolades and praise, behind the scenes, I was pissed off and angry and tired, right? And it was really beginning to understand that if I continue to give from an empty cup, an empty well, and not take time to replenish it, that it would break, crack, fall apart. However, if I were willing to take the time to fill my cup up on a regular basis, on a daily basis, and only, and the key word is only give from my overflow, that I could truly give from a place of love and caring. I could truly give from a place of really, truly wanting to share. And to give from a place of no expectation of getting something back because I was already full. So for me, it is this ritual every day. I get up, I meditate, I pray, I do my visualizations, I set my goals, I read, so I fill me up, I exercise. And the first part of the day truly is me laying my personal wellness foundation so that I can go into each day full. And really making it such a part of my life that it's a non-negotiable. Do not call my house during that time because I'll be asking, like, why are you calling? This is my time, right? And getting that clear on it, that no matter where I go, I set my day up with laying my foundation first, fortifying me, and then being able to give. And you know, some people say that takes time. It does, but it gives me more time because when I am full, I am more effective. When I'm full, I'm consistent. When I'm full, there's less chance of burnout. So when I'm able to pull away and take care of me, I come back way stronger, way more powerful, with way more mental clarity, and I'm much more effective. So for me, it is really learning that I am the first person I'm supposed to take care of. Because if I fall, everything else I'm trying to take care of tumbles with me.
I'll fall with you. Absolutely. Yeah, and so as you transition to leading your company, what are some of the challenges or problems that you would have faced in that process, and how did you overcome them?
Oh my goodness. The first thing is I come from a social service background. I come from a counseling background. That's a background where money is not really spoken about, and this is just a Suzanne opinion, and there's a lot of pride in scarcity. There's a lot of pride in not having too much, and I was like, I don't fit here. I want wealth. I want my life to be abundant. So the first part of that was actually shifting that mindset around my own money conversation and my own wealth conversation, and a realization that I knew what money was, but I had no idea what wealth was, none whatsoever. So I had spent most of my life chasing money, chasing dollars, but not understanding that chasing dollars was not wealth creation. So really, the first thing was grasping that distinction, because I was going to go into business not just to create money, but to actually create sustainable, long-term, intergenerational wealth, which I'm still learning and still working to understand. So that was the first thing. The second thing was I had never run a business. So learning what business was and how to do business and all those pieces that went along with it. Third was, I think, understanding that I had transferable skills. And being willing to transfer and adapt them. And I think the biggest thing was that realizing that my success was going to be built on many failures. And, you know, being the person that I am, failures are not something I had always looked at as a good thing. Now I think the shift for me is understanding that in my failure is my access to new knowledge. In my failures, my access to new information that will give me my next step in my business, my next step in my journey. And that those people that are really successful have all probably failed way more often than those people who haven't experienced success. That for me was humbling. That for me was had me sit in a very vulnerable place for the very first time, because I was really committed to looking good. And suddenly I was like, okay, I got to go out there and be willing to fail and not look so good. And in failing, and really not having failing be a negative thing, but an access was also being open to ask for help, say I don't know, ask, you know, look for resources, and being open to being contributed to by other people. So those were huge for me. Those were very big.
That's powerful. I especially like the idea of building on failures as access to new possibilities. I think that is that's a phenomenal way of putting what a transition that perhaps can be full with insecurities and unknowns into something that becomes positive for you as you make that transition and as you make those steps forward. And so, in doing so, what do you think would be the chief characteristics that you have to have to appropriate that access or to see the possibilities?
I think one is the whole concept of taking 100% responsibility for your life and your business. And for some people, that is a really challenging concept, because when I say 100% responsibility, I mean 100% responsibility for everything. So if it's going well, you're responsible. Woo, it's great. If it's going not so well, you're 100% responsible. If you're in a conflict with someone, you're 100% responsible. If something messed up, you're 100% responsible. And most people are like, well, no, there was someone else involved, and they were there. It was their fault. And what I get is the minute I go, it's their fault, I give them power and I have no access to change. The minute I say, this is my responsibility, it doesn't matter who else was involved, it's my responsibility to find a solution and answer, I just claimed my power. And then from that place, I will ask solution-focused questions. I'll ask how questions. I won't ask questions that have me placed as a victim. I will ask questions that have me placed as a person who is able to create solutions. So I think that is like the first piece for me, is to be solution focused. The second thing is to have a level of integrity that says to you that my word is law. So if I say I'm going to do something, I'm committed to succeeding, and to a certain extent, no matter how long it takes, and I'm committed to finding solutions, changing, growing, expanding until I arrive where I want. So, and I think what most of us don't recognize is integrity with myself is the most important integrity ever, because when I have integrity with myself, I can create integrity with you. But if I don't first have integrity with me, in other words, I know my word is law, I will never have integrity with you. So I think the second thing is a level of integrity. I think the third piece for me is being able and willing to take risks. And I recognize that risk is a habit that's practiced. And when you start, you know, you take small risk. But that small risk grows you and expands, you know, what often is called your comfort zone. It expands what's comfortable. Then you take another small risk, and then that expands you. And then you take another small risk. And then, you know, a year later, you look back, and you look back at your first risk, and you go, oh, my God, really? But it was the willingness to step out just a little bit that created that expansion that happened over the year. But that is a habit, a practice. And I think it's really being willing to practice this thing called risk-taking. I think, you know, the most important attribute for me is my willingness to take action. And action in absence of always all the answers or a clear map. So one of the things I tell myself is I'll set an intention, I'll have an idea, and I'll go, Suzanne, the how is not really any of your business. It's not up to you. And I remind myself about the how will be revealed in the journey. All you need to know is where you're going and what's the first step or first two steps. Because my biggest learn is as I take my first step, it will reveal my next step. And that step will reveal the next step. And even if the next step is the wrong step, that's information.
Yeah.
So that just means, okay, that was wrong, so I got to step somewhere else. And most of us, when we start this journey, we look to have all the answers and all the information, and then we sit feeling stuck. And you're not actually stuck. You're in your head. And it is really get into your body, get into the action. Let the action be the source of your information for your next step.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Would you share with us a memorable story from your career, something that has stuck with you, either from experience or something that's humorous?
A memorable story.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there's a number of them. You know, I think I'll share one that created a transition for me, and it's a transition that I live with and work with today, and it's present to me because of a book that I'm presently reading with my book club, and you know, as you progress in your career and your business and whatever you do, there is a building of expertise and a building of confidence, and there is the confidence that has you kind of feel like, oh, I'm great, I'm wonderful, I'm the expert, I'm the consultant, I'm great, right? And while it is amazing to see yourself as great, it's also very isolating, right? Because anything that I or you desire to do in the world that is going to be lasting requires a we're great attitude. And what I mean by that is the understanding that I have greatness, and that is true and it is a fact, but I can't create anything lasting unless I surround myself and partner with other people who are equally as great or greater than I. And I think it is the transition from knowing that I am brilliant, and I truly believe I am, because I believe everybody is. I am special. I truly believe I am, because I believe that everybody is. I am unique. Mm-hmm. But me, in my own brilliance and uniqueness, cannot actually change the world in the way I desire it to be. So for me, it's the understanding that I am as great as the people I choose to surround myself with, the people I choose to collaborate with. And when we come together and we make that beautiful soup of brilliance and expertise and talent, that's when magic happens. And so for me, it is really understanding that if I desire to be successful, I can't be an island. I have to create a tribe, right? I have to create a group of people. So, and my access to that was really kind of working and believing that I have the skills, I have the talent, but why is there nothing moving? Why isn't anything going where I want? Why do I feel stuck? Well, I feel stuck because I haven't tapped into the brilliance of other people. I haven't been looking for the brilliance in other people. And sometimes I have to look and see it before they see it themselves and cause it. And so the whole piece for me is really my ability to cause and create leaders who I run with versus leading on my own.
Yeah, I like that. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we were built for relationships. And as synergy, the excitement, the magic, as you call it, comes from being connected with like minds and like people who have similar focus, even from different perspectives. That is where the excitement and the synergy and the magic does happen.
Absolutely.
You know, I just love that. I love that thought. It's a reminder as people frequently say sometimes, you are a replica of the five people that are closest to you. And so if that is the case, then if you want greatness, you have to surround yourself with people who are great or pursuing it. Yeah.
Absolutely, but this is the other really cool thing. Remember at the beginning I said one of my commitments is to wealth creation, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a total network marketing concept, but I think it's a business concept in and of itself. So wealth creation is only possible if money is flowing and created in the absence of me physically working, right? So
yeah.
If I am truly committed to wealth creation, what that says is it can never be created if I'm the only one in the process.
That's right.
So for me, if I truly want to create wealth, whether that be in knowledge, whether that be in resources, whether that be in this thing called cash that we all, the greenback we all talk about, no matter what it is, if I really want to create wealth, it is only possible through collaboration, because there has to be other people in partnership, in activity, while I'm sitting on the beach, right? And that I'm in action and I'm in collaboration while they're sitting on the beach or while they're doing whatever it is. If I'm a solopreneur, I'm a solopreneur. I will never have wealth. So I think that's the other piece of the equation. That's also, if you understand how it all goes together, it only occurs through collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then what would you say, sounds like you alluded to it already, is the most satisfying aspect of the work that you do?
I think the most satisfying aspect is assisting people in seeing their brilliance. And not only seeing their brilliance, but taking responsibility for their brilliance. Because when you or I totally understand how special, how brilliant, and how unique we are, we also understand the concept that only you can bring what you were meant to bring to the world. Only I can bring what I was meant to bring to the world. And that our responsibility, our God's purpose for us on this planet, in my opinion, is that we bring what he gifted us with to the world. And when you sit in that place, you will never discount yourself as just someone in the room. No, you're in that room for a purpose, because only you can bring you to the room and whatever gift you have. And when someone is able to understand that, they move from a different place, but they also value themselves from a very different place.
Yeah. And, yeah, I totally agree with that, you know, because at the end of the day, it's only one of you. And what you are gifted with is totally unique. And it kind of moves out of the way, the whole issue of comparison and those kinds of things. And if that is the case, from my perspective, it means that the world is full of brilliance that is untapped, number one, because we might be trying to be somebody else's light, not understanding who we are as individuals. That's good stuff right there.
So true. And I think society is, you know, our social structures today are set up for comparisons, for am I fitting in with the group? Am I like everybody else? And it is not set up for us to actually think independently, act independently, be creative, all those different things. So when you tell someone that you can do, be, have whatever you want, and it may not show up in the way it does in the world today, that's an interesting concept, right?
Yeah.
But I think as our children grow and as we have this new generation coming up, what is going to make the difference between their success and what's going and those who are struggling today is that one piece, because education is valuable. But those who will have success today are those who will take their education and say there is no box and move from that place.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to shift just a little bit We want to know what you do for fun, recreation, and relaxation.
I'm a lover of music. I'm the daughter of a dancer and entertainer, so I have been raised on all forms of music. So love, love, love music. So I like live jazz, live music, period. If you're talking classical, R&B, jazz, reggae, calypso, I'm in it. I also love I love food and dining and cooking. I love that experience. So wine tours, fine dining, that whole piece, I'm all over it. Yeah. I'm an athlete by my mom put us in sports to keep a very active little girl busy. So I've been an elite athlete all my life. So I still enjoy a lot of physical activity, a lot of athletics. And I'm a reader. I read every day, constant. I love new information. Love, love, love it. So I'm a reader. Let me think. I guess those are my top four things I do for fun.
Well, I can enjoy some of those too. Like a lot of fun. I also would like to know, are there any books or products or materials that you would like to share with our listeners?
Absolutely. We are in the process of launching a retreat that is a health and wellness retreat. It's called Fit, Fab, and Fun. So get fit, feel fabulous, and have a lot of fun on that journey. And it is really for individuals who really want to grasp the whole concept that health is the foundation for every single thing you do. And to just walk on a journey where you actually fill your cup up first and learn to only give from your overflow. Everything I do is born of my own experience. So if someone is interested in that and they want to learn more about that, they can check us out at SuzanneHart.com, and they can contact us at Suzanne@HeartZone.com. And you can find us on Facebook as well. We're Suzanne. I'm Suzanne Hart. I'm on Facebook all over the place doing my thing. So yeah, absolutely. And if you go to our website, we will and you register and you connect with us, we will definitely have a free gift for you. That will really just move you forward on your journey and give you an assessment and allow you to get a sense of where you are today in the world around your health, your wealth, and your sense of freedom.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'm giving you opportunity, as we've come to the end of our time, I'm giving you opportunity to just share some concluding words, whatever you would like to say. There's one piece that I would like for you to address in that to the extent that you choose to, and that is the focus on the heart and the person's personal wellness for any, whether it is leadership or growth or somebody who's aspiring to become a leader, to address that focus as part of your concluding work.
Wow. Okay. I believe that there's this thing called heart-centered leadership, and leadership is something that every single one of us is totally capable of. My belief, if you're listening on the line, is that the first person you ever lead, and in my opinion, the only person you truly lead is yourself. And leadership is your ability to master yourself. And in mastery, I mean that life comes down our road every day, and it rips up and bubbles up all these emotions that take us off track, take us out of our game. And leadership is the ability to manage your energy in the face of life and be in pursuit of what your dreams are. It's personal mastery. When I and you have personal mastery and we move from that heart space, we create influence and inspiration. In other words, we inspire people who see us, and they are inspired by who we're being in the world, and that influence causes true leadership. Every single person on this planet, every single person listening to this call has the capacity to lead. Mm-hmm. And rather than focusing outside of ourselves, it's to intuitively listen to self and say, you know what, I'm going to create my own personal mastery. I am going to be inspiration in the world. And from that place, I will influence the actions of others. And if you look at every leader, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, you know, the list goes on, you will see that the first person they led in everything that they did was themselves. We got on board because we were inspired. Ordinary people, extraordinary things through choosing to lead and inspire self.
Wow. Thank you very much. I'm just so sorry the time is so short.
Yeah. You are so welcome. Such a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
Yeah. You are true inspiration. And I am very excited that you were willing to share the things that you have shared today. And, you know, to just remind anyone who's an aspiring leader, you know, of the fact that, you know, life does bring opportunities to you, and that, you know, what you already have can be transferred, you know, to different things in life that you might be called or you might have the opportunity to do. But I especially like, you know, the whole concept of giving from your overflow, and that once you have taken care of yourself, you can share with others, and that's what then translates into heart-centered leadership. So thank you so very much.
Thank you for listening to In the Lead with Dr. Carmela Nanton. Since you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to go over to drcarmelanantin.com to receive updates, tools, and resources. Be sure to let family, friends, and colleagues know about the show In the Lead. Dr. Carmela returns next week with another insightful interview, so make sure you tune in to In the Lead.